I've got some books for the kids who may be online. If you're here, you can stay where you are. I know you're busy. I read this one a few weeks ago. Its title is Guess How Much I Love You. And what's the point? Why did this book get written? It's about love. And the author wanted to know how much you're loved. Anybody remember the tagline? I love you this much, to the moon and back. That's why it's written. So you might know that you are loved to the moon and back. This one, it's a Costco flyer. I've got it dog-eared to the place where the air wick scented oils are. So I don't have to clean my car. I can just get the air freshener. If you noticed at the Thanksgiving for baptism, the confession and forgiveness, it mentions water, obviously. This is a book of poetry from my favorite poet. I've quoted from countless of his works. This one, God's Way for Me. The profoundest thing one can say of a river is that it's on its way to the sea. The deepest thought one can think of a person is that he or she is a citizen of eternity. Moments and years, years and moments pass like sea-bent streams. And I'm carried by the current of an all-possessing love. I'm on my way. God's way for me. So let it be. Written to inspire, to give people new insights, new ideas, some energy, some excitement, if you will. And this, you might recognize this book, in case you were wondering why it was written. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Of course, that's the end of the end of this little narrative about Thomas, who, if you will, came to believe because his friends wouldn't let him go. He was there with them when he got to know Jesus. And now, if you notice the cover of the bulletin for today, the sermon title is something about Easter eggs get real or Easter eggs in reality. You know what Easter eggs are. I'm sure you're thinking the ones with all those faces on the cover of the bulletin because of all the emotions in today's story. They're afraid. They feel joy. They're confused. Well, I'm not talking about Easter eggs with faces on them. I'm talking about the Easter eggs that only gamers and movie buffs know of. Alfred Hitchcock appears in at least 39 of his own films in cameo appearances. And if you're not paying attention, it was easy to miss them. He's in The Birds. He's walking two dogs out of a pet shop. He's in Psycho, Rear Window, 39 of them. And he didn't only produce movies that were suspenseful. There were thrillers, crime dramas, comedies, romance. He was known as the master of suspense. Even in the movies, the Psycho, the horror movies, when you knew that something scary was about to happen, when it happened, it still shocked you. He elicited not just fear, but suspense and amusement all those emotions. That's why I'm bringing it up, because Hitchcock was famous for those little vignettes and for all the emotions he inspired. All those Easter egg faces. So, I'd like to go back over the last couple of weeks, just the last 2 weeks in the narrative of Lent, Holy Week, and Easter. I think we all know the stories. We know what's happened. They're pretty familiar. We know the who, what, where, how of what happened from Palm Sunday through Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. Pretty familiar. But I'd like us to consider what it must have been like for Mary, Jesus' mother, for Mary Magdalene, Peter, James, John, Nicodemus, Pilate, Herod, all of them. The disciples had gone back to Jerusalem with Jesus knowing that it was dangerous. They said, he's going to die. And Thomas said, let's go and die with him. It was scary. They head back to Jerusalem because Lazarus is dead. They go back expecting to go to a funeral, wearing their dark suits, having rehearsed messages of consolation for Mary and Martha. And when they get there, it turns into an all-night party with Lazarus dancing up a storm. Fear, sadness, surprise, joy, in one story, all of them. And at the same time, the storm clouds are looming because not only are the authorities waiting for Jesus to arrest him, but now they're ready to go after Lazarus too, because he's started to be a problem. And then they have a little dinner at Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And the next thing you know, it's spring break. It's the high holy days. Everybody flocks to Jerusalem for the celebrations. Everybody's celebrating. And the one at the center of the beginning of that celebration on Palm Sunday, we know it's a huge parade, a ticker tape parade. And they're all yelling, hooray, long live the anointed one of Israel, hooray, and they're ready to make him king. Talk about a swing of emotions. Jesus' best friends are invited to the Passover dinner in the upstairs party room. Thousands of their fellow citizens are celebrating in the streets, remembering how Moses conquered Pharaoh, and thinking Jesus is going to conquer Caesar and Herod. They're all expecting the next place they go is Disney World. Until Jesus gets up at dinner and brings everybody down with taking off his clothes and washing feet. From joy and expectation to confusion and sadness. They certainly didn't expect that night's events. After dinner, things had calmed down a little. They went outside the city walls to a garden they were used to visiting. They could still hear and see the celebration less than a mile away down the hill into Jerusalem. So they felt a little safer there. In the grove of trees, if still a little uncertain about the future. And then it all fell apart. Everything. In the next few hours, everything that they had feared might happen did. And worse. They didn't know whether to hide where they were or run for the hills. Fight, freeze, flee, until it was over, just a few hours later. By Friday night, the celebrating from the night before seemed like an eternity ago. They could hardly remember ever having any hope. He and all their hopes for the future were cold and dead. The cross still stood on the hill outside the city gate. And as if that weren't devastating and depressing enough, a couple of days later, someone starts this rumor, this sick joke about the tomb being empty, that people had seen him alive. They didn't know whether to hope that was true or hope that rumor would go away and their troubles would be in some way over. So they got together, hunkered down, and tried to puzzle out what they did, what they'd do next, figure out a way out of this mess. See if they could go back home, maybe, and pick up the pieces of their lives. They'd had enough of the same old story, it seemed, again and again and again, that the people in power always silenced the voices of dissenters, always crushed the oppressed, always threatened anyone who might have a chance of taking power from them. Which brings us to this, the week of Easter. They still haven't figured out how to go on from there. And since one of them, Thomas, hadn't been there when they got the news of this rumor, he'd missed seeing Jesus, though they had that first night. But Thomas wasn't about to let this group insanity infect him, not mess with him. So now I'll skip ahead to today, to this story, and to us. The last 3 years, and for that matter, the last few months, have had everything imaginable in them. Of course, COVID, but strangely, we've kind of learned to live around the pandemic, if not with it. We've learned to have fun and be careful, to enjoy ourselves and still be a little worried at the same time. To have joy in spite of the fear. There have been baptisms and birthdays. There have been anniversary celebrations and successes and failures. There have been scary diagnoses and daunting treatments. Good news and not so good news. Victories in athletics and academics. And we have more of those coming up with proms and graduations. The list is nearly endless of occasions and emotions. All of them. Individually and together. If I might be personal for a moment, me too. All of those times and emotions with you and in me. I've laughed a lot with you, cried a few times with you, worried with you, and celebrated with you. And one thing I know, I've missed a bunch of those. They happened when I wasn't paying attention, like Hitchcock strolling through the scene of a movie. There are a bunch of times when Jesus walked through those scenes of our lives and I was busy or not paying attention, and so I missed it. But make no mistake, Jesus walked through the scenes of our lives. Whether we noticed or not, maybe we weren't paying attention. Maybe we weren't exactly there at the right time, like Thomas. There are a bunch of times when Jesus walked through a scene, an Easter egg, if you will, in our movie of life. But I know whether we saw him or not, Jesus has been there. In the tears and in the laughter, in the music, in the celebrations, Jesus has been there. And not just a cameo appearance, but in the center of it, bringing peace and emboldening faith. Faith in the midst of all that is to come. Trust that promise. Thanks be to God.